This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Happy holidays, home theater nerds. Welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people, and on Tuesdays, the listeners. This is Takeover Tuesday for, I believe it's December 14th. And we got a few to get to today, so let's get to a few of these little advertisement pleasantries that I have been told I should do for myself. If you're not already a subscriber on YouTube, please go to YouTube. Subscribe Brightside Home Theater. That would be great. Also, Patreon, patreon.com, Brightside Home Theater. You can go there and you can support the podcast monetarily. They would take money from you once a month. Whatever you'd like, as minimum's a dollar and as much as you would like, anything up and over that. They will take it from you on the first of the month, and then most of it comes to me. Thank you very much to my patrons over there. I have 17 patrons. Thank you guys. Thank you for everything. Really appreciate that. Another way to support the podcast is you can support me on Twitter. Just follow along. Same as YouTube, but you follow along over there. Have great conversations over there, have a lot of fun, get insight from everybody in the home theater world. Twitter is not a cesspool. It is what you make it. If it's a cesspool, then I guess never mind. I won't finish that thought. All right. I love Twitter. I love all the people over there. Have great conversations. This is pretty much where this podcast came from. This part of the podcast, Tuesdays, mostly comes from YouTube. Also, you could support me by emailing at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Get some emails from people as well. So thank you to everybody. Now, let's get to big week at Twitter this week. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 new followers over on Twitter this week. We have Jeff Mandra, Tom Davis, Ryan Lerman, HP Mike, Carlos Solcito, not the soccer player, and Matthew Esprey Gear. Thank you guys all for following along on Twitter. Looking forward to conversations with everybody. All right, next up. Congratulations to Cody. Cody was the first to email me. He emailed me with the correct answer for Total Recall. He won the 4K Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall 4K disc from last Friday's show. So he was pretty quick with it too, which is really cool. He Friday afternoon, I believe, fairly soon, right away, got his email in to me, and I put it out on Twitter to let everybody know. So thank you, Cody, for playing along. Mark V was hoping to run the table for the month of December, but unfortunately, Mark V did not get in on time on that one. But he did tweet out congratulations to Cody. And there will be another one coming up this week. Big one, actually, and another one got added. That will be later in January. I had this whole month planned out. And then I won't say what movie it was, but I was all excited. I saw this movie and I was like, oh, I don't think I have that. So I just went right on my phone, ordered it from Amazon. It came in, I opened it up and I went to put it into my rack in my, whatever, where I store all my discs, my display, right? And I go to put it in, they're all alphabetized, and I look and there it was. I almost gave it away what it was. And there it was, sitting right there. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, literally, I have the exact same copy. I bought it months ago. I didn't think I had it for some reason. So now, yet another one. I'll give that one away at some point in January. But I have a big one coming up for this week. And looking forward to giving that one away. And to be fair, The one that's coming up this week is so big that it was actually supposed to be given out at the end of the month on Christmas Day. I was going to be giving this one away, but something took its place, something even bigger. So you'll have to pay attention on Friday to see how big of a giveaway this is. Just know that I think the next week's is even bigger. So, all right, let's move along. Nick Wetmore also commenting on Cody winning. I'm jealous. Okay, Nick, well, all you got to do, listen to the podcast and get it in quick. BJ Horton, good deal. I save the podcast for entertainment at work, so I'll never win this stuff. But it's okay. I, too, have several duplicate DVD and Blu-ray discs. Used to give them to friends, and I was a bit of a running joke for doing this. Ha ha. And yeah, I never had this problem with Laserdiscs, because Laserdiscs were very expensive back then, and I made far less money back then, too. I didn't make a lot just starting out, and I was Laserdiscs, I think, were between $40 and $50 each, if I remember correctly. So there was no duplicates of that. But this now, it's so simple on Amazon. You just think of it and you just want to go there and get it, and it's bang. And next thing you know, oh, I already have that one. So, Todd Anderson, he tweeted at Brightside HT, enjoyed your Takeover Tuesday podcast. Wanted to comment on the Lumigen versus JVC. Lumigen is obviously a top end cover all piece of equipment. It's awesome. The new JVC tone mapping does a really good job in most situations. Check out Chris Deering's comments, and he sent the link to avsforum.com, and Chris Deering comments to Mike, and I put this in the show notes. I put the link to the exact comment from Chris Deering, and it's really good, and it's basically he's saying kind of what I'm saying, and it's like JVC does a great job. It's a great, I would say, if you planned on getting an entry level or not entry level, but if you planned on getting a Lumigen someday, it's not a bad idea to get a JVC. It's a good starting out point, but eventually the Lumigen does win out. And there was debate, and that's what Chris was commenting on in this, is that the Lumigen, that the new JVCs and the JVCs are just as good as a Lumigen. And even Chris says that's just not the case. The way the Lumigen handles so many other things, and it handles so much so many different mediums so well, that, and it can be tailored to exactly what you're looking for. There's so many more advantages to it, but that's nothing to say that's not, the JVCs are great. That's not an issue. And to this point, I also got a question this week from Mitch, and it's a good question. He says, I'm curious as to you and your calibrator Jim's opinions on why get a Sony projector over a JVC projector. He's like, I have a JVC NX7, already wanted to upgrade to the new NX8, but it's way too expensive right now. I'm more or less curious on you/Jim's opinions on the JVC versus Sony. Could some additional knowledge I didn't know and could influence by future purchasing decisions? I'm looking at getting a Lumigen Radiance Pro 4242 as well at some point. I was wondering where you got yours and the pricing is on those, and could get a deal on one if you know. Also, was looking at a scene in Foundation where you noticed the black crush. I'm curious to check out on my projector to see if I'm also noticing that. I'll compare it on my OLED and my projector. Thanks, man. Great podcast as always. I love the Thanksgiving show between all three podcasts, which I do listen to regularly. And so I replied to Mitch and I said, great question. It took me a while, and it really did. It took me a while to understand why Jim was so set on a Sony over the JVC. And the reason is I used to call Jim and I'd be like, hey, the JVCs are on sale. And he goes, you want to wait for the Sony. And I said, after much discussion with him and adding the Lumigen, I discovered it's all about the color. And especially with Jim, it's all about the color. JVC has deeper blacks and Sony has the more accurate color. And it's, and I've seen that in the forums, I've seen that in the reviews, and it's practically negligible difference between the two of them. And that, but that's the difference. So with Jim, and what I really liked about Jim, and it's my opinion, obviously it's Jim's opinion too. You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to like it. You don't, whatever, but the opinion is like, Jim is very much like-minded to myself in that I just want the most accurate version of what the director is intending or what is intended to be seen. And when it comes to the color, the Sony is the more accurate to that. Black levels, that there, the director doesn't intend or not intend for certain black. That's, there's so many more factors that go into your black levels. You can have a great JVC projector, but if you're not in a light controlled room, it's not even going to be close to comparing to what I'm getting in a light controlled room. At the same time, if I have the JVC and the color difference between the two of them, it's so negligible. It's like, if you really care about black levels and you're in a light controlled room, you're probably going to have a better issue with, or better image of black levels with the JVC. I get it. And that's fine. I trust Jim. I love what I'm seeing out of my Sony, and I love what I'm seeing out of the Lumigen. And that's basically what I went on to say to Mitch. And it's like, it's so close. And that's one of the things I'm actually working on. I would love to get somebody from Sony or even from JVC and to have that, have them on the show and to tell me why one is better than the other or what they see and on both sides. I really wanted a JVC, but Jim talked me into the Sony, and I trust them, and I love the image that I'm getting. And all the reviews say they're really close as well. It's not just me. So, yeah. So that's where I stand on that. And I mean, like, if people have their feelings, and that's great. All right. Another one. I'm getting this a lot. I got a few emails on this, a few DMs on this, and it's kind of about how I encouraged my buddy to go to streaming, my buddy Rich, that is, as I put on Twitter, my new best friend, Rich Keefe. I encouraged him to stick with streaming because he, when I put in his SVS speakers and I put in his home theater for him with the Denon and the SVS Prime satellite system, he was going from just the speakers that are in his television to this, and that was it. He has a 65-inch 4K television. It's like 4 years old. It's nothing fantastic, but it is 4K with HDR, and he loves it. That's where he's starting out. I recommended that he stick with streaming because that's all he's been doing. Well, and on an entry-level system like that, I've gotten a bunch of comments from, and it's funny because nobody wants to say it publicly on Twitter, especially where we're all such huge physical media fans, and I am, and you guys know that. But if somebody's starting out, why do I want to hamper their budget with the physical media when there's so much more that they can do and learn by just sticking with streaming, and you're getting such great content there. And there is so much great content there between all of the streaming shows, all of the streaming services, the movies that are just basically given to us once you're paying that monthly fee for whatever streaming service it is. But you'd be crazy to try, when you're just starting out, to just start building, especially with 4K, like discs right now. We don't even know if 2 years from now, if that's going to be the case. It just doesn't make sense. It's like, it'd be like starting out a Laserdisc collection in 99 when DVD and Blu-ray are right around, the DVD was already out. Blu-ray is right around the corner. Why would you start out a Laserdisc collection then? Didn't make sense. So that's kind of how I feel on that. And another note on that is, one of the funny things is I'm doing so much streaming now because of TV shows, right? And you're watching your TV shows, and meaning like Foundation or Invasion or C, going back through C, which looks fantastic, sounds fantastic. They all sound great. And I'm doing so much of that than I when I go to a physical disc and I pop that in, you immediately you hear the difference. The picture isn't so much better. It is better, but it's not that big of a difference. But I listen to everything at reference level. But when you go to physical media and you pop in that disc, you know, oh, wow, this is louder. Bam. You notice it right away. So if 80% of your content is streaming just because so much of it is TV shows and I'm constantly listening at the same level, which is reference, that when that 20% of the time when you put something in and you it just blows you away. The dynamic range for sound is so much better. The volume level is higher. It's just so much crisper, so much nicer. And a lot of what I talked to you guys about last week when I did the Die Hard 2 episode and I compared it to the streaming, the sound is just so much better on physical disc. That's just something that we can't get past right now. And that would be a fun thing if someday when Rich, if he ever decides to move up to the physical media part, it would be like a few years from now where he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this. Or maybe there's parts of the collection that he want that aren't available on streaming, like some collector's items or something, right? And he wants to buy the disc and he gets himself, starts a small collection. He would immediately notice the difference because he would have spent so much time on streaming and have that familiarity where he's listening at the same volume level, turns it up to the same level. And then when he puts a disc in and tries to do the same thing, ruh-roh, here we go. It's louder, punchier, better dynamic range. And it helps you learn that type of thing. So to everybody that email me, DM me, all of these things, it's not a bad thing to say that streaming is good. I'll say it here. I'll say it publicly on Twitter. It's not a bad thing because there's a lot of content out there that you can only get through streaming. So enjoy it. It's a great product. But if you want the absolute best, most of the time, it is physical media. All right. Mark V. Hey, DJ, I also listen to this podcast, and he's talking about Home Theater United podcast. Says, hey, DJ, I also listen to this podcast. They're a mix of your podcast and AV Rant, but not as good. Actually, one of these guys is mooching off your idea and trying to make another show of it, LOL. So you're Nike, and I guess they can be Reebok, LOL. The Home Theater United podcast is entertaining, though, in its own right, but I am biased and loyal to my home theater family. You, AV Rant, and of course, the HT guys. I give these other guys props because it's not easy to start and maintain a podcast. Also, thanks for your awesome response to my silly goof up with my tweet about the giveaway. I hope you do more contests like the District 9 one where we had to listen to and hear what you heard. I love those even if it's not a contest. That's fun for a home theater nerd, LOL. And I just replied, I was like, well, next year is going to be fun, full of fun surprises. And it is, I have a bunch of ideas in mind, giveaways. I don't want to say too much more, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to hopefully take this podcast in a direction that I've been wanting to do for a while. And I think that will be a lot of fun, but, that's what I wanted to do, something like AV Rant does their thing. HD guys do their thing. I wanted to do something that I didn't feel like anybody else was doing, and that was focus on movies. And once we'll be getting back into that a lot more, like I did last week with Die Hard 2. But yeah, these guys, I listen to the Home Theater United podcast. I think these guys are good. I don't think I'm any better than them or anything like that. Once you get used to hearing these people, it's entertaining. It's fun. And it's more opinions. And that's how more opinions, more information. It's just what we like to listen to. It's the topic we like to talk about. And then we want to talk about with people. And not a lot of people personally in my life love home theater as much as all of you guys do. And as much as I do. So it just broadens my horizon on what I see in my landscape. Maybe I'll have these guys on. I'd love to talk to these guys. So, but yeah. So yeah, I like Home Theater United podcast as well, Mark. John Z at Brightside HD. I like to play with speakers picked up from sites like Marketplace, OfferUp, and US Audio Mart. So while I have picked up and delivered speakers with a white van, I've technically never sold anything directly out of it. Ha ha ha. This is going on forever with Johnny Speakers because now he's saying technically never sold anything out of the white van. Okie dokie, here we go. Gurinder. Also coming in with white van information, I have a white Town and Country too. In fact, that is what I used to pick up my first projector and screen as well as front tower speakers. So I guess I did have some speakers in my white van. He's like, funny how you, oh, and he also commented, funny how you duplicated your UHD discs. This happens to me and tools around the house. They get so messy that I can't find what I need and end up buying another. Nice thought to turn in to a giveaway contest. Thanks, Corinda. Appreciate that. Yeah, I do it with tools all the time too. That's how you end up getting multiple. You know how many razor blades I have? I couldn't find one. I happened to be at the store. I just bought another one. Now I have them all over the house in different drawers. Box cutter, razor blades. I got multiple hammers. Just you can't find one. You buy it. And then guess what? Once you buy it, you know you're going to find it. So, John Z again, watched Lucy on 4K disc last night. Wow. What a fun ride, both audio and visual wise. I have a question for you and the listeners. Do you often feel like you buy movies to enjoy your system, or did you buy your system to enjoy movies to their full potential? And I'll give you my answer. We got a few comments on that already on Twitter because I retweeted that and I asked people to comment. So if you haven't answered, by all means, get that into me and we'll talk about it next week too. But do I feel like I buy movies to enjoy my system, or did you buy your system to enjoy movies to their full potential? Well, yes and yes. So I did buy my system to enjoy movies to their full potential. As most of you know, it was Star Wars, episode 4, but always just called Star Wars. So Star Wars, I wanted to get back to, I watched it so many times on HBO growing up that I wanted to be able to experience it like it was experienced back in 1977. And I didn't really have a memory of that because I was only 7 at the time. So I really just wanted to build something. And I'd heard about this thing, home theater. I'd heard about people having screening rooms, the rich and famous. And I wanted to duplicate that. So I did everything in my power starting in the 80s to try and do that. That's why I built my system, to enjoy movies to their potential, to get the most out of them. And of course, right when I started really having a nice system, that's when Jurassic Park came out. And that's when I think really the home theater started to boom, where people really started to take notice. Rental had been out for about 10 years at this point. VHS rental had been out for about 10 years. More and more people were trying to duplicate the theater experience in their home. So I was a little bit ahead of the curve. But yes, that is why I did it. But once you have your system, you buy these movies to enjoy your system, because once you start getting into 5.1, so ProLogic, for instance, you could do Dolby ProLogic was basically, it was a 4-channel mix. You had your rears, your fronts, and then they matrixed the fronts to give you that ProLogic. It was logical that the voice came from the center, so they matrixed it to give you that center channel. That was what Dolby ProLogic was. It wasn't until Dolby AC3 in the early to mid 90s, I believe it was around 90, right around 93-ish. Don't quote me on that. But Dolby AC3 came out. That was your true 5.1 system where they had 5 discrete channels. Once that happened, now you couldn't wait to hear that guy walk around the room. You'd get a test disc like your digital video essentials, and you listen to that guy take that walk around the room, and you couldn't wait to hear that. And then you just wanted to get more and more movies that you would be able to experience anything fun like that, anything moving around the room, anything going on behind you discreetly on the left or the rear, the right of the rear of the room. Because before that, your rear channels were not discreet. Your rear channels in Dolby Pro Logic were just, that was your rear channels. So it was the same sound out of both sides. It was still fantastic because things could fly past you and around you and be behind you. That was fun. And you, like I said, you could get that from a stereo sound, like off of a VHS tape. But now with 5.1, you started buying, I wanted to get stuff with AC3. So I was buying Laserdisc that would be in AC3. Then, of course, along comes THX, and then comes DTS. And you wanted to get like the Jurassic Park or anything in DTS because, well, Dolby AC3, Dolby's been around forever. Let's try out this new DTS thing, see how they are. And now that's where that, you know, that competition comes from. And how, what is this going to sound like? So basically, yes, I would believe that most people would say that they started out to recreate that movie theater experience with their system. That's why they built it. Once you build it, well, the movies will come because then you just start buying stuff to get the most potential. And that's really what this podcast is all about. It's really about the experiences, and it's like, you know, all about how you can take the most, get the most, take the most advantage of your system, get those scenes and the movies and stuff. Like, I can't tell you how many times, and I love it every single time, people have told me, I'm just listening to your podcast on the way home and I bought the movie because I can't wait to experience this. That's what we all love. And like I said before, it's like, that's how this podcast was founded. I wanted more and more. I wanted to hear people tell me about stuff I could hear in my room. So that's basically, it's yes and yes. Yes, I built it to recreate it. And yes, I buy them so that I can experience my room's full potential. So now we have comments from people on this one. WV Brew, I buy movies mostly based on sound. I don't mind double dipping. However, if a movie is released on 4K without sound upgrade, I find it a huge disappointment and will often pass on it or wait till it's like $10. I used to be like that, but now that I'm getting really good HDR, it is a big, that to me is a big upgrade. The image is that big of an upgrade that even if the sound isn't as good, I'll grab it and be like, I want to compare it. And I've had a few cases where the image isn't too fantastic, even on HDR. Looking at it compared to a standard def, there have been a few cases that I'm not a big, I really didn't see that big of a difference. Maybe if they come up someday, I'll bring them up. But yeah, so just like sound, you know, your image can be not as good even in an upgrade. But it's fun to try and it's fun to check out all that stuff. BJ Horton 2005 says, I do both. Example, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Not that good of people think about the sound. I think it's even basic 5.1 surround, probably stereo, but I still enjoy it on a nice system. However, movies like Lucy or Godzilla, I enjoy mostly for the sound. Yeah, and I agree with you. Christmas Vacation, it's the holidays. It's fun to listen to in your room. The 5.1, even basic 5.1, everything's basically starts as 5.1 sound. So even your Atmos on a good 5.1 system, it is a quick little tangent for you. The reason you have multiple speakers, and we've talked about this before, AV Rant has talked about it many, many times. The reason you have multiple speakers is just so that more people in the room can experience a more consistent sound. I've said it before. I'll say it on this podcast until the day I die. It's The best example I can give you and the best experience I've had in a demo was experiencing full surround sound, and it was in a two-channel room. Everything that we hear is based on two ears, and it's based on the reflections, and it's based on like timing of sounds getting to you. And if you're in a perfectly treated room, sitting in the perfect spot for a two-channel system, it will sound just as good as a 24-channel Dolby Atmos or object-based system. Because what they're doing, what those multiple channels are doing, is they're compensating for room imperfections. They're compensating for multiple people sitting in the room. Because in a two-channel system, as soon as you sway one side to the other, you're going to favor that speaker a little bit more, and it screws up the math for how everything is supposed to be getting to your, quote, two ears. So all of this, it's just, that's what the multiple speakers are for. It's just basically to compensate for your room or for multiple people in a room. And if you have a well-treated room and you have a 5.1 system, you're probably not going to hear much of a difference with Dolby Atmos, because the Atmos, you're already getting it. It's already in a well-treated room. Those reflections are going to happen properly. The things that you want to have happen. How many people have that? I know I certainly don't have that perfectly treated room, but that's why when you put in your overheads and you're like, oh, okay, it's a little bit better. Now I have a little bit better sound, even if it's not just something overhead. It could just be anything atmospheric in the room. Just going to sound a little more accurate. So how's that for a tangent? I forgot why I even started that tangent, but oh well, that's me. All right. Francis Samoko says, I buy movies because that's my passion. The story, the transporting you to another world. The system comes in as the enhancement to that experience. Then you fall down that rabbit hole and it's all out the window. Actually, you know what? That is awesome. And it's movies are my passion. That's a great way of putting it. Movies are the passion. Like Star Wars was my passion. Getting into and transporting yourself into that world. Just like when I read comics or I read a good book and you sit down and you just want to be transported there. And the system helps you enhance that, because when you get into that real world, it's a lot harder in a dedicated room with a nice system. It's a lot harder for somebody. They have to literally knock on the door and say, hey, can I come in? And you'd be like, yeah, come on in. And now you're right out of the world, as opposed to watching it on your TV and people walking around your living room. The system helps you enhance that experience, which Francis, perfect way to put it. And then once you get that system, that's the rabbit hole. And I actually said that to Rich when we were designing his system. I'm like, there's a rabbit hole here. Having fun. Look out. And you don't want to go. It's not that you don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but at times, you know, like when shopping for an amplifier or new speakers or this or that, it's like, or a new TV. What do I want? What do I want? It's crazy rabbit hole, but that's the fun. And I love that too. It can cost you a lot of money though. Theo, I buy it for the sound and picture, but mainly the audio upgrade. Yeah, exactly. The audio upgrade that's the biggest part, right? Because like I said about the difference between streaming and physical, it's that audio upgrade. It is a big difference. For some reason, they just haven't figured out how to get the audio through yet. That might have something to do with the fact that it's very small amount of people that take advantage of the audio, right? Because most people have a 4K TV right now. The numbers are getting up there. And streaming, it's so like in going back to Rich's that we just did, he had a 4K, 65-inch 4K TV. He didn't know what he was missing sound-wise because he was just listening through his speakers. That's the majority of the population. So if you give them a great image, they're going to love that. And it took him, you know, I don't know how long, years. He had that TV for 4 years. It took him 4 years to be like, you know what? I want to upgrade the sound on that. now he's getting the advantage of that. Someday maybe he'll try out physical media and he'll hear the little bit of it, the difference. It is a bigger difference, but maybe that's why they haven't figured out how to get the fantastic audio through yet, because it just doesn't seem to be a pressing issue to the masses. It is to us. Adriano the Nerd, I have a system so I can enjoy my movies to their potential. I can't justify buying a movie unless I like the movie first, but I will give it a shot if it's available to stream. Absolutely. Good point. If it comedies, dramas, stuff like that, I'll stream those. And sometimes like comedies, I'll just watch those on my TV upstairs. I don't need the great surround sound for Happy Gilmore, but I do with action movies and things that go boom. I might buy that sight unseen just because I know it's like Jerry Bruckheimer and I know things are going to go boom and I want things to go boom, you know, but then there are people and things that I'll buy just because of their history, you know? So it's, but yes, I can justify buying movies without seeing them, but most of the time it's based on the history of the people in the movie or whatever it is. But streaming does help you, preview stuff and then be able to see it, you know, afterwards go, you know what? I really want to own that. But there's a lot of times that I won't buy it. I won't watch a movie until I can get the physical disc first. Like if any of the MCU, I don't want to stream it until I can watch the physical disc. I want to experience it in the best way possible. Mark V, I also built the system for the movies. Otherwise I'd never buy a disc and live a boring life with tiny TV speakers while streaming everything, LOL. Ignorance is less expensive in this case. Not exactly bliss. Ha ha. Well, until you find out, it is bliss, but once you find out the difference, which I got to imagine is getting a little bit easier for people now, because there is a way you can find out. You go to somebody's house that has a 5.1 system and they're like, you're watching TV this way. And then they come over and you're like, you do realize that what you're watching, it's all right here. I think back to Daredevil on this one, the first season of Daredevil. And most people were watching that on Netflix on a computer, on a laptop, and maybe with some headphones on. But then you go in your theater. I showed it to multiple people and I was like, listen to this scene here, check this out. And you'd be like that scene in season one, I forget what episode it is, but it's the taxi cab scene where the guy's in the back seat of the taxi cab and the fight's going on all around, but the camera pans and spins all the way around the windows of the taxi cab and the sound moves all around your room. Like I said earlier about having somebody walk around your rooms talking, it was a fantastic scene. The hallway scene in season one as well, where the fights are on both sides of the room, outside of your room, and the way the sound panned further away. And I'm like, man, people are watching this on a computer and they're not even understanding how much they put into this. It's a great 5.1 mix on that, because that was before Dolby Atmos. So, yeah. At Brightside HD, DJ, you know how you basically found your, this is BJ Horton, sorry, BJ Horton 2005. DJ, you know how you basically found your hobby soulmate in Larry from SBS? That is how I felt when I found you. He's like, I'm not kidding. Just about in every sense, I align with you perfectly. If we were in high school together, we would totally have been at the same table. And you know what's funny, BJ? Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment. Almost all of my podcast people that I listen to on the subjects that I like, you can find that with almost everybody. So like Tom at AV Rant, I'm like, I listen to him and I'm like, oh my God, we are so much alike on this. Rob, we are so much alike. Ara, Braden. There are so many times I say that. Rich and Ryan from Dork Podcast, I'll say that. Joe Rogan, I'll say that. I'm like, oh, I'm so much alike on that. And I think what it is when you like somebody, when you find that they, you know, you value their opinion and you're listening over and over to these people, they become a part of your life and you enjoy their company, even though you're just listening to them, right? But then you, like we all do, we start hearing all of the good things, but then anything you disagree on, you forget very quickly. And you're like, I mean, we aren't all the same. We are very different people. Everybody, we are all very different people. But we start to see these people for like our similarities, because I think that's our human nature, believe it or not. And that's what's weird about social media. Social media likes to pick on the negative stuff and always point out like, oh, you don't like this. Like on social media, somebody might take my opinion about the Sony projector and the Lumigen and say, I hate JVC. And that's not the case. But in real life, if like you guys listen and you know, it's like, no, that's just his opinion on that. He loves JVC. Those are great. And you'd be foolish not to get a JVC. But when you start listening like BJ, like, oh my God, we're like soulmates. I've said it about Larry. I've said it about Tom. I mean, all these people, because yes, I agree. You agree. And you let the little disagreements fall away. And we should be doing that with more people than just the people we're listening to. You know, not everybody's perfect. Believe me, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying BJ isn't perfect, but yes, I am. None of us are perfect. So I appreciate that, BJ, but I think that's more about human nature. We're all genuinely good people, and we always want to see the good in people. And I think that's what you've done with me, and I'm sure you do it with many other people as well, as we all do. So thank you very much, BJ. I really appreciated that. Let's see. Oh, this one was good. Scope or Die from Todd Anderson. And I said, I think we need to have a debate on that one. I strongly disagree. So this was, and maybe we'll have him back on. And of course, I'm going to have him back on because he's another one. Todd's another one. We're like soulmates. I see a lot, but here we are. We disagree on this. So he has a scope screen and I have a 16:9 screen. And I have messed around with the idea, and I've gone back and forth with when I redo my theater and build another one, do I go scope? And all this IMAX stuff has really kind of swayed me and really made me quote unquote see the light, and that no, it's 16:9 and not scope. And I would let Todd and I will joke and we'll have a lot of fun with this one. But here's my opinion. IMAX or 16:9 is supposed to look more grand. It's supposed to look taller. It's supposed to be that, wow, look at this, right? Scope is supposed to look like a landscape, like a big, like turning your head and looking fantastic. That big peripheral view that you kind of turn your head and look at the screen. Well, if you have a scope screen, when you go to anything in 16:9, it doesn't get taller. It actually, your screen gets shorter, and even in your own head, you're like, oh, I just lost all of this. That's why when you read these reviews of like IMAX Enhanced, the people that don't like them typically have a scope screen because they're not getting that extra boost in picture where it goes taller for you. And you're like, whoa. And I had this conversation on email, and this was a little while ago with Carl, and it was talking about like the size screen you can get. And what a lot of people don't realize is they measure the width of their room and they want to go scope. And it's like, I went height, and my screen is based on the amount of picture I could have from top to bottom because that's the image that I wanted. That's how big of an image I wanted. Now, I could have gone scope in my room and it would have gone wall to wall, in which case my speakers all would have had to go underneath, but I still wanted that taller image. That's why I went with the 100. I cannot go any higher because my screen is literally right up against the ceiling, and any lower, and I would, the subwoofer, the center channel speaker underneath it would have been pushed down even further. I probably wouldn't have been able to see the bottom of the screen with my front row of seats. So when you go scope, anything IMAX or anything that's supposed to be tall is now not tall. It's the same height as your scope screen, but you just have black bars on the side. So you miss out on how grand IMAX is. Whereas if you go with a 16:9 and you're watching now, even at a 110-inch screen with black bars at the top and the bottom, that is still a very large image for a scope screen, for a scope image, right? But now I take those black bars out and I'm like, whoa, the thing's huge. It does feel like an IMAX experience because I'm used to having this slightly, even when you go to the movie theater and you go and see a scope screen, it's not as tall as an IMAX screen. So that's how you can get and manipulate your mind into enjoying both IMAX and a scope screen if you have a 16:9. If you have a scope, you're never going to like IMAX. You're never going to like a 16:9 image. You're going to feel like, oh, that's just small. It just shortened my screen width-wise. And that's why I go there. But again, I love Todd. Todd and I are very much alike. We agree on a lot of stuff, but I love pushing back on stuff, and he loves to push back on me. So keep it up, buddy. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? G. Cornell. And he says, my favorite Die Hard, talking about last week's podcast on Die Hard 2. He goes, ever consider running the disc and the stream at the same time and choosing which to look at and which to listen to? This would give you the best sound and the best image at the same time. And I said, yeah, I've tried that. I did that in the past. I've done that with so many different things. And by the time you get everything synced up, and it's, God forbid, you have to take a pee break, and now you got to pause them both and then resync. It's never worth it. Especially nowadays, because it's a lot simpler just to boost the sound, like I explained last week, where you bump up the sound by a few dB and bump up the sub by a few dB. It's not as good as the original sound off the disc, but it gets you close enough and you don't have to do all that syncing stuff. But I have done that, and there are ways to do this if you have a PD or you have a Plex where you can actually take Atmos tracks and throw them onto the folder bubble. I've never done it, but I know people have explained it to me, especially back when I first got my Zepedi, and they were like, oh, you can do this. And I've never actually experienced it, but I know there are ways to manipulate your, the movies digitally that way when you have, cause it's just basically a folder. Also from G. Cornell, he said, X-Files audio. He said, soldiers are, season one, episode 10, Fallen Angel. He said, soldiers are off screen, are attacked. In my 5.1 home theater, I hear their voices and screams coming from the sidewalls about 6 feet forward of the screen. A few times I found myself turning my head and looking at the sidewalls. I'm sure you're curious to run this episode in your home theater as well, to see if you hear the off-screen voices and screams coming from your sidewalls about 6 feet forward of your screen. Hope you do, and look forward to your follow-up comments. And I replied to him. I'm like, this sounds really cool. I do. I want to check that out. And I said, do you have a timestamp? And he said, yeah, he'll get me a timestamp. And as of this recording, he hadn't replied yet. But that was just this morning So hopefully he'll get me that timestamp soon. I'll take it. I'll check it out, and we can talk about it next week. And that's the last one from this week. Oh man, I can't believe there wasn't one from Carl. Carl actually sent me a very nice email last week. I put this at the end as we're talking about, oh, go on YouTube and subscribe, patreon.com/brightsidehometheater at BrightsideHT on Twitter, and you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. But speaking of Patreon, so at the beginning of the month, hopefully I remember every month, but at the beginning of the month, I like to thank all of my patrons. And I made a comment last week, and he emailed me about it, and he said he wanted to personally thank me for thanking the people that had supported me but left. And I was like, that's common sense to me. But he's like, not a lot of people do that. And no, it's because things happen. you know, and it's whether you fall off, it doesn't, nobody, any support I get in any way, and it's not just money, but anybody that's followed me on Twitter and have fallen off or not fallen off or whatever it is, it's like, I appreciate all the support, because whatever you do, it's, you thought for a moment, you're like, you know what, I'm going to help them out, I want to do this, or you made a comment or whatever it is, I really appreciate that. And it doesn't have to go on forever, and but I appreciate it all, and it doesn't matter when it ends, if it ends, anything like that. So thank you very much to everybody that supports the podcast and supports Open Theater, because this is a lot of fun. So that will do it for this week. I will be back on Friday with a fun podcast and another giveaway. Can't wait for you guys to hear that one. And it's this one this week is another interview. We talk Christmas movies, but it's Brett Bjorkqvist back again from Kaleidoscape. And we're going to break down some, we're not really breaking down some movies, it's just two guys talking home theater. We learn about his home theater, the rabbit hole that he falls down. It's hysterical. I can't wait for you guys to hear it, but it's hysterical. The rabbit hole he's falling down, still continues to fall down, just like we all do. But yeah, listen to that one. Lots of fun. Have a great week, everybody. And go push play. Then tell me all about it, and we'll talk about it next Tuesday. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.